How many of you have been tempted to think that God is not in control of circumstances? You look around, you see what's happening, and you think, wait a minute, that's not quite the way I thought it would go. And we look at our circumstances, either personal or around the world, and we think, wait a minute, where is God? What happened to his plan? I thought it was all going to work out this certain way, and it didn't quite work out that way. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Moses. You remember Moses. The children of Israel are in captivity in Egypt, and Moses, of course, is a shepherd, and he sees God, he meets God in this incredible burning bush, and God says, I want you to go and deliver my people. And of course, they have an argument about that, but finally Moses agrees to go. Now, if I were Moses, I would have assumed that that would have worked out rather smoothly. God told me to go rescue them. God said he would deliver them. So all I have to do is go and do it, right? So I'm just going to waltz on into Pharaoh's palace and say, guess what? God is showing up here and we're going to get out of here. So adios. And we just march right across the Red Sea and go on and set up camp and do everything fine. But of course, we know that's not the way it happened. Moses marches in and says, let my people go. And Moses says, I don't think that's a good idea. In fact, I'm not going to give you guys any more straw. But you still have to make the same amount of bricks. And Moses goes out, and the Israelites hate him. And Pharaoh hates him. And it's a disaster. And Moses must have been looking, saying, wait a second. Did I misunderstand your plan? Didn't you say, go and get my people and get them out of Egypt? Now, I did what you said, and I messed up everything. Everything is worse than before. And sometimes we look at the world today and we say, where is God? What is his plan? Why aren't things going the way they're supposed to be going? And the Apostle Paul writes the beautiful book of Romans to the Romans, and he says, you think that obeying the law is going to get you where you want to go. And I want to tell you that by the works of the law, no one will be saved. It is through faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. And he goes through chapter 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, and it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about the law, it's about Jesus Christ. This was God's plan, to send his son to save us. And the Romans must have been looking back and saying, well, wait a minute, what about Israel? What about Israel, Trinity Baptist? Aren't they God's chosen people? Didn't we read that in Genesis chapter 12? When God came to Abraham and said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Haven't we read the entire Old Testament? And isn't God's love for Israel obvious? Yet I would ask you the question, what about Israel? Did God change his mind? Did his plan not work out? Is God up there going, well, I thought this was going to work, but it didn't really work the way I wanted to. I sent them my son, and they rejected him. In fact, they crucified him. Is God up there going, well, that didn't go the way I wanted it? Or did we misunderstand something? Isn't Israel God's chosen people? What about Israel? Would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11 and stand with me in honor of the Word of God? Romans 11. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I, Paul, I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your idols, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant, according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not and bend their backs forever. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. and so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience. Why? So that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has given to him that he might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and exalt his name, exalt his word, exalt his plan, exalt his truth? Pray that God would be glorified in your heart and mind today. Would you pray for me? Pray that I could deliver this message with Paul's intended meaning. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Be exalted, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take this bit by bit. Amen? Are you ready? That's why you've come this morning. Romans 11:1. I say then, Romans 11:1. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I, that's Paul, I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, and Elijah says, Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your idols, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? This is what God says to Elijah. I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way then, says Paul, in the same way, there has come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Paul is answering the question, has God rejected Israel? And his answer is no. And he says, let me give you one piece of evidence. One piece of evidence is this. Right now, says Paul, there is what is called a remnant. A remnant. The Greek word is on the back page of your notes, and it means that which is left. That which is left. And Paul says, right now, there is a remnant of believing Jews. And I want to tell you, Trinity Baptist, that that is the case today. There are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of ethnically, naturally Jewish people that worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a remnant, and there always will be. He says, Do you not know what the scripture says about Elijah? And he takes us to 1 Kings 19. You don't need to turn there. You certainly can if you want. But he takes us to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 18 is that famous story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And if you've read the Bible, you remember the story. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a showdown, if you will, on Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal come, and Elijah comes, and the prophets of Baal set up an altar to Baal. And Elijah says, the one who answers by fire, he is God. And of course, the prophets of Baal pray and pray and pray all day long, and they cut themselves and they just cry out to Baal, and of course there's no answer. And Elijah sets up the altar for the true God, and he prays a very simple prayer, and God answers by fire. And Elijah has the prophets of Baal slain. Now, Queen Jezebel did not appreciate that. So Queen Jezebel hears what happened on Mount Carmel and hears that Elijah has killed the prophets of Baal, her precious idol. And Jezebel says, you are dead. I'm going to kill you. And Elijah says, oh yeah? Let's go. Come and get it. No, that's not what he says. He runs for his life in fear. And in 1 Kings 19, the Lord speaks to him. And Baal and Elijah complains to God. In 1 Kings 19:14, Elijah says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your idols, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they're seeking my life. Elijah says, Israel has totally forsaken you, God. I am the only one worshiping God, and Jezebel is going to kill me. And what does God say to Elijah? In our text, it is verse 4, Romans 11, 4. It is from 1 Kings 19, 18. God says to Elijah, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. God says to Elijah, there is a remnant. You're not the only one. And Paul's point in Romans 11, 1 through 6 is this. By God's grace, not by works, lest any man should boast, but by God's grace, there is a remnant. And Trinity Baptist Church, God has not forsaken his people Israel. There is a remnant. By God's grace, all over the world today, in Jerusalem, in Israel, in the Middle East, in America, and beyond, all over the world today, there are Jewish people, ethnically, nationally Jewish people, that worship and serve Jesus Christ. There is a remnant by God's grace. That's number one in your notes. God has not rejected his chosen people. There will be a remnant, a group of Jewish people saved by grace. Let's take the next section, Romans 11, 7. What then? Romans 11, 7. What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained. But those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see and bend their backs forever. The chosen remnant was saved by grace, and the rest were hardened. Why? Why? We look at the world today. You might look at your life and you say, why is God doing things this way? Why is the world the way it is? What is going on? You might even doubt the existence of God. If you don't doubt the existence of God, you might doubt that God is truly in control. But God is in control. We cannot understand his plan perfectly, and sometimes it makes no sense to us. But praise God, he's in control and we aren't. Amen? Why did those who were chosen obtain salvation and the rest were hardened? Why? Look at verse 11. Romans 11, 11. I say then, they, Israel, did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, here's the key, Trinity Baptist, verse 11, by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. If you take notes in your Bible, underline verse 11. May it never be. By their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is reconciliation of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? Why were some hardened? Why were some hardened? So the gospel could come to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. That's why. Incredible. We all know what jealousy is. We all know what jealousy is. In 1994, I dated Julie. She's sitting right there. Now, if another man had moved in while I was dating her, I would not have appreciated that. I would not have liked that at all. You see, in the middle of our dating relationship, before we were married, I moved to Indio. She stayed in the San Fernando Valley. We were 2 hours apart. She was part of this big, wonderful young adult group at the church where we both grew up. I was 2 hours away. Another guy could have moved in on my girl. I would not have liked that at all. I would have been jealous because he would have the relationship with Julie that I wanted. And we all can relate to a situation like that. We all can relate to jealousy. And God says something amazing here through the Apostle Paul. He says, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. Number two in your notes. God has not rejected his chosen people. Salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. And now I want you to really pay attention to point number three. I want you to really pay attention to point number three. This is a practical application for Trinity Baptist Church today. Number three in your notes, the role of the Gentile church in the world today is to make the Jewish people jealous of our relationship with God so that they will turn to God. That's God's plan. Do you see that, brothers and sisters? That is why the gospel has come to us. That is why the gospel has come to us. God loves Israel. And part of his plan is to move them to jealousy. when he sees that the Gentiles are saved. Remember in chapter 10, look at Romans 10:19 behind me on the screen. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding, I will anger you. Remember in chapter 10, Paul says, my heart's desire for them is for their salvation. Why? Because they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. There are Jewish people that are very committed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they don't know the gospel. They don't know the truth about Jesus. Jesus came to the Jews first. And the Jews rejected him. Their rejection brought the gospel to the rest of the world. Their sin, their failure, brought the riches of God's saving grace to the world. And Paul says, if the Jewish rejection of Messiah was riches to the world, how great will it be when the nation of Israel turns to Messiah? Trinity Baptist, do you love God's chosen people? Do you love God's chosen people? Because salvation came to us as part of God's plan to save them. Number four in your notes. God has not rejected the Jews. If their rejection brought salvation to the Gentiles, think of how great God's ultimate plan for them must be. And now we will turn to the world of plant life. Look at verse 16. Romans 11:16. He teaches something very important with an object lesson. If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. If some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them, and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember, it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, Gentile church, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold, the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who were the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? And Paul here is talking about the process of grafting. And I am by no means an expert in this. I know people that are and were experts, but grafting is simply this. You have a tree, and then you take a branch, or I think it's called a scion, or a twig, from another tree, and you cut into the branch, you cut into the tree, and you... Am I getting this right, Ron? Oh, right. I got a resident expert. You cut into the branch, you cut into the tree, and you put that branch into that tree, and because of the awesome way that God has created the tree, that stump, that tree, will give life to that branch. And you can have a tree with the natural branches, and you can have a tree with unnatural branches that were grafted in. If that doesn't make sense, see Ron afterwards. But that is what Paul is saying. The natural branches are Israel. And what Paul is saying is the natural branches were broken away from the root system, were broken away from the tree because they rejected Christ. And the Gentiles, the unnatural branches, were grafted in. What should our response be to that? That should be our response. Praise the Lord that God, in His grace, not because of our works. Oh, Trinity Baptist, listen to this. God did not look down at the Gentiles and say, "You're really good people. I'm going to graft you in." Because of God's overwhelming, amazing, matchless love and mercy, He looked at those that were not a nation, those that were not a people, those that were separated from Christ, those that were strangers to the promises, and without God in the world, and He said, "I love you too." And He grafted us in. Our first response is to praise God. No one is telling God what to do, Trinity Baptist. God chose Abraham, and God chose Isaac, and God chose Jacob, and He was completely within His rights. He doesn't have to include us, but He loves us. And He grafted us in. Keep a bookmark in Romans 11. We will stay there until we're done today. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. It will not be on the screen. This is what Paul is talking about. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore remember that formerly you, Trinity Baptist, the Gentiles in the flesh, you who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you, Gentiles, were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, Trinity Baptist, who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself, Christ, is our peace, who made both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself, in Christ, He might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. For He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you, Trinity Baptist, are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. Praise His name. Praise His name. Go back to Romans 11. Our first response should be to praise God. But what's the command, Gentile church? What's the command? It says, do not be conceited, but fear. If God did not spare unbelieving Israel, he will not spare unbelieving Gentiles either. And Paul is looking at the Gentile church. And the Gentile church perhaps was being conceited. That's why Paul says, don't be conceited. So back in the days of Rome, back when Paul is writing Romans, the Gentile church is thinking, oh, God's rejected Israel, and now he loves us. So now we're God's special people just because we're Gentiles. Remember, that's the mistake the Jews made. The Jewish people were saying, we're God's special people just because we're Jews. Just because we have the law. Just because we're circumcised, we're God's special people. And Paul says, no, no, no. If you reject Christ, you will be broken off. But now the Gentiles in the church in Rome are saying, oh, we're God's special people now. We're God, he's turned away from the Jews, and now we're God's special people. And God says, and Paul says, no. Do not be conceited, but fear. He didn't spare them for their unbelief, and he won't spare you either. And we want to say very clearly, Trinity Baptist Church, that any Jew or any Gentile that rejects Christ is lost. If God did not spare Israel when they turned away from the Messiah, if God did not spare his chosen people when they rejected Jesus Christ, he will not spare us either if we reject Jesus. Do not be conceited, but fear. Number 5 in your notes. Gentiles are grafted in by grace through our faith in Christ. If God did not spare unbelieving Israel, he will certainly not spare unbelieving Gentiles. And I want you to see that very clearly in the book of Hebrews. Look behind me on the screen. At Hebrews 3:12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And that is my word to all you sitting in this room. Take care that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Gentile Christians, we've been grafted in because of our faith response to Messiah. Look at verse 25. Romans 11:25. What about the Jews then? What about the Jews? Verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Verse 28 and 29 are very important. If you take notes in your Bible, underline those two verses. From the standpoint of the gospel, Israel are enemies for your sake. but from the standpoint of God's choice. They are, what is that word? Beloved. From the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he might show mercy to all. This is amazing. Has God rejected Israel? No, he has not. Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed about the mystery. He says, there's a mystery. There's a mystery that has happened, and I don't want you to miss out on it. And he says very clearly what the mystery is. It's number 6 in your notes. A partial hardening has happened to Israel so that the Gentiles can come to God through Christ. That's what is happening. God has not forsaken his chosen people. His choice of them and his call upon Israel, Paul says, is irrevocable. God does not change his mind. It looks like he's rejected them, but he has not. The Gentiles have been shown mercy because of the disobedience to the Jews. But because of the mercy shown to us, God wants to save them too. Look at number 7 in your notes. God has not forsaken his beloved chosen people. He is working out his salvation plan all throughout history to all people in order to show his mercy to all nations. Do you see what has happened? Salvation went to the Jews. They rejected. So salvation came to the Gentiles, so that this original group would be moved to jealousy and salvation could go back to them as well. God is working out everything so that he can save all nations. He wants to save everyone. And the only response to this awesome God of love and mercy is verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that he might be paid back to him? For from God and through God and to God are all things. Trinity Baptist Church, to God be the glory forever. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, your mysteries we cannot fully understand, but we want you to know that we trust your heart of love and we trust your faithfulness. And we know that you have shut up all in disobedience so that you might show mercy to all. You are working sovereignly in this world today to save people from every tribe, tongue, and nation and people. To bring glory to your name so that your Son will be worshipped. And one day Jesus will come back. And every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation will bow down and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And all of Jesus' enemies will be placed at his feet. And everything and everyone, both above the earth and in the earth and under the earth, will be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will just take it all and put it at your feet. That you may be all in all. You are working out your plan to be glorified and to demonstrate your mercy to all the red and yellow and black and white and brown and everyone. For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Amen.